You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Trees, mountains, a curious kittadoo.
It's time for the Green Desk on 95BFM.
After some time away from 95BFM, reporter Jack Marshall has made his triumphant return to the BFM newsroom, where he's taking up his role as host of the Green Desk. This week on the Green Desk, Jack goes spotlighting with Mountains to Sea Conservation Trust at an Auckland golf course to find nature thriving in its waterways.
When you think of beautiful wildlife in New Zealand, you think of maybe Milford Sounds, Lake Waikato Moana, you know, maybe somewhere up north in the bush. But if you want to find some beautiful wildlife, you can go straight to the golf course. Right now, I'm at Chamberlain Park looking over the ninth hole, and we're about to go spotlighting. We're here to see beautiful tuna or eel and banded kokopu, and who knows what else we might find. Because some good people have been doing some hard work conserving these waterways for the good of the people.
First up, I spoke to Sophie Journey from the Mountain to Sea Trust.
So we're currently in Chamberlain Park Golf Course, and we're looking out over part of the Waititiko Miola Creek catchment. So this is an awa that runs through the heart of Tamaki Makaurau. So it starts at the top of Albert Eden Local Board and runs all the way down into the Waitamata. And it's a really critical urban habitat for freshwater animals and wildlife. And so tonight we're doing a spotlighting guided walk for the local community to raise awareness for the stream, for the awa, what lives there, and how to look after it, as well as highlighting some of the awesome work that local community groups are doing to restore this area and be kaitiaki guardians of the awa. So yeah, that's the plan.
I'm so excited to go on this walk because I cycle all the way to work, just past the cycleway here, almost every day, and I've never thought, oh, look, there's a golf course. It's full of fish and wildlife. So could you tell me a little bit about what we're going to see tonight?
Yeah, sure. So our main focus is the awa. So there's a lot of different freshwater species that live in our waterways around Auckland. And so the things that we're hoping to see tonight, there's no guarantee because wildlife will do what they want to do, but we're hoping to see some of our native freshwater fish, and those include some of our whitebait species that are banded cockapoos are really common. They're probably our most common whitebait species that you find in urban streams.
They're quite big, aren't they?
Banded cockapoo, I mean, most of our freshwater fish remain pretty small because a lot of our awas around Aotearoa are small compared to other countries.
What is small? How big are we talking? Pencil size or?
Pencil size is pretty good. I would say banded cockapoo get to around 20, 25 centimetres max. Pretty small compared to more ocean-dwelling fish. Mm-hmm. The largest of our whitebait species or native fish species, so for whitebait it's giant cockapoo, so they get to 35, maybe 40 centimetres, and then there are tuna or eels, which are technically fish, that also get pretty large, maybe a metre, metre and a half. But in most urban streams, fish remain pretty small because they're limited by the space that they have to live in.
Just because I think maybe a lot of people's perceptions of whitebait, you think of whitebait fritters where you got these tiny, tiny little fish, but these are, not substantially large, but but larger than a tiny thing you might think of as in the fritters.
Yeah. So whitebait, the name comes from the juvenile stage of the fish, which is why they are quite small. They're still growing. So when people associate whitebait with the fritter that they're eating, that's the juvenile stage of the fish. Whereas the fish that we're going to be seeing in the awa right now, because we're at the top of the catchment, these fish are fully grown, so they're adults, so they're going to be a bit bigger and they're going to look a bit different. They're not as see-through, they've got more patterning and coloration to them, and they're a lot easier to identify as well. Whereas when they're juveniles, they all kind of look the same.
There's one. There's over there.
Gosh, it's a big one, isn't it?
I found an eel.
Up the stream.
Oh, it's too fast.
So it's a short fin tuna. It's native to New Zealand, but not endemic, meaning you can find it also in Australia and some of the Pacific Islands. But it is a native fish, and it's the most plentiful of our tuna, our eels. They're so awesome.
You're now hearing from the guide of our tour, who dropped in this little fact that I have not been able to stop talking about ever since I went along.
At the very end of their lives, they then head down the stream, smell that salty water. We're all together, although often the males go first and the females catch them up, and they all head off towards Tonga or New Caledonia, up the trench, like deep swimming. And when they're there, they spawn, and scientists have not yet been able to identify exactly where that happens. A lot of mysteries around the longfin tuna. The larvae is like a leaf larvae, Leptocephalus, and they just float all the way back to New Zealand on the ocean currents.
Right, the eels go all the way to Tonga.
They go to Tonga to spawn, and then they die. That's the end of that part of the life cycle. Not just somehow, the longfin tuna, called wharuwharu, knows to come this way. The currents just carry them. It's quite incredible. So it's a real taonga, and they are unfortunately very much in decline.
So has that tuna there come from Tonga?
Yes.
I know you've told me about it.
It's Tongan Language Week this week as well.
So the short fin go to a different place to spawn than the long fin, but it is in the Pacific. Yeah. And so essentially when they're at the end of their lives, it's like they're going back. It's like they had this instinct to sort of go from where they came, which is quite beautiful, really. And so, that, like I said, they can carry a lot of eggs, the female, so the females are always bigger. If you see a very large tuna in your stream, she will almost definitely be female. At the end of her life, she starts changing into what we call tuna heke, which is migration phase, and her face gets pointier, her eyes get bigger, ready for a swim, her whole body, her pectoral fins get bigger for the long, long swim. She stops eating, her stomach shrinks to make room for the eggs. And yes, they need to adapt to the salt water, so the skin sort of changes too.
And with that, that is the Green Desk for this week. Thanks so much to everyone from the Trust for having us along for the walk. I think I'm going to make like an eel and head to Tonga.
That was the Green Desk with Jack Marshall. Thanks once again to Sophie Journey from Mountains to Sea Conservation Trust and all the conservation groups involved.
That was the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.